But right now, our speaking of usual slots, we've got Ben Wagner joining us. Benny, good to talk to you. This the Buffalo experience, the road show, it will now make its way eventually to Toronto. In your estimation, did Buffalo exceed the expectation level when months ago it was deemed that they were going to have to play their home games, air quote, at Salem Field?
I think overall they excuse me, guys. Good morning. I think overall they did, but it was also a joint effort from what the Blue Jays were able to invest in the facility and working with local governments, because the county owns the stadium, you know, so there are multiple layers of approvals that have to go through. It's not just like Mark Shapiro sits down with Bob and Mindy Rich, who own the franchise. They have to get a lot of people involved. And of course, in a pandemic, as we know, because it was so involved to get the Blue Jays back home, a lot of health people have to be involved. But if you look at what the Blue Jays were able to do, one, to upgrade the facility, get New York and Western New York specifically on board to create an atmosphere that wasn't available to them last year. But what they were able to do since moving into Salem Field at the beginning of June, limited capacity, and then little by little, they were opening up for more fans. We've seen this groundswell of support. And I don't know about you guys, I watch daily, and I keep seeing more and more Blue Jay caps, more and more Blue Jay jerseys, more Blue Jay T-shirts sitting in the seats outside a couple of games against the Yankees. And, you know, the Red Sox, obviously, we're going to broker a lot of tickets in that market, too. But I think it goes hand in hand of the overall success, both from a Buffalo standpoint and what the Blue Jays were able to pull off with the help of Western New York.
Ross Stripling had some words on it. He says, it's crazy. It's going to be our third home in a season. I understand there's got to be some fatigue here, but there's also got to be, I think, a sense of relief for people involved that July 30 will be at the Rogers Center.
Yeah, it's exhausting. The guys are exhausted. Their families are exhausted. It's a lot of unknowns. It's a season of unknowns, right? And not that it should surprise anybody that these guys went into this, you know, with some uncertainty, right? How long would they be in Dunedin? Would Buffalo be ready to go at a certain point? Would Toronto ever happen for a player that signed a one-year deal or multiple-year deals, for that matter, and people that have a lot of comfort? Jordan Romano, for one, you know, loves being back home and pitching at Rogers Center and having all the comforts of surroundings and familiarity of places that he grew up with. It's taken a toll, and I hope at one point, you know, the front office, the coaches, and the players that have gone through this get their due, because I don't think it's a story that's being told widely enough, really, how difficult this season was. They had to get out of Dunedin. Buffalo was a stopgap with the hope that, you know, the trends would continue to get them to Rogers Center. But all of these moves have – it's mobilization. That's what it is. Every one of these moves are beyond a suitcase. I mean, it's 7 semi-trucks full of cars. It's 8 semi-trailers full of gear. And everything from computers that have come down from Rogers Center to assist the front office in the ticketing system, all the way down to, you know, the weights that Vladdy's swinging around, you know, as he makes this march towards becoming a Triple Crown winner. It's an incredible effort. And hundreds of people have been involved off the field. So being back home has certain rewards, and hopefully wins are just part of them.
Yeah, okay, interesting. Robbie Ray will go tonight. They'll go to play the Mets after this finale with the Red Sox. Just a thought on the season he's put together, and I guess maybe the level of surprise he opened the second half of the season after the All-Star break, starting the rotation, so to speak.
Yeah, you know, Robbie Ray's a guy that likes to stay in line and pitch on his fifth day. So that was by design. You know, he pitches that great game in Tampa, and that lines him up immediately to come out of the chute and throw against or get that first nod out of the All-Star break, right? And his season for me has been incredible. And I've been on the Robbie Ray train very early, and I know, especially in spring training when I was talking to you guys, I'm like, Robbie Ray is going to be a really important piece of this puzzle here, and he hasn't let us down at all. I mean, with what he was able to do and change his body, the durability, he wanted to be stronger deeper into the season, and you're not only seeing stronger Robbie Ray deeper into the season, but you're seeing it game by game, too. There's no let-up in the velocity. The life stays on the pitches. He's basically doing it with two pitches, a fastball-slider combination, and at times a changeup, maybe a knuckle curve just kind of flipped in there to keep guys honest. For me, his season is incredible, and if it wasn't for Trey Mancini, he would probably be the comeback player of the year. You know, Trey Mancini coming back from cancer and having an all-star caliber first half. There's a lot to be authored yet in this season, but Robbie Ray, for me, is the most important pitcher in the rotation right now for the Toronto Blue Jays. And I understand that Hyun-Jin Ryu was pretty good again his last time out, but, you know, there was almost a full month where Hyun-Jin Ryu had not Hyun-Jin Ryu starts. You know, he didn't have the depth, didn't have the command, and Robbie Ray was out there just shoving night in and night out.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, Ben Wagner's with us. There was a bit of an update on Nate Pearson. He's sort of the forgotten man here amidst Alek Manoah joining the rotation. This is a guy a lot of people had penciled in to be a two or a three in the rotation. What is the latest? We'd heard he was seeking a fourth or fifth opinion for what was going on with his body, but it sounds like there's been a resolution of sorts.
Yeah, and still some uncertainty with the injury because it's classified as a sports hernia, but after a fourth different opinion, Ross Atkins told us yesterday, you know, he was really encouraged about what they have learned about the injury, how to manage it, and then now making the shift with Nate. He's going to go back to a mound within the next week, and then shortly thereafter start a rehab assignment through the different levels and work out of the bullpen. And that raises a lot of eyebrows because if you remember Nate Pearson coming out of the bullpen last year in the playoffs, it was electric. Five strikeouts and the six outs that he had to record. And I mean, it was dominant stuff. And more than anything, I've learned talking with people in the organization that Nate is the driver behind this. The sports hernia, you think, oh, shut down. You're going to miss 6 to 8 weeks, maybe even more than that, to get ramped back up and if you trust your body. But Nate says he can fight through this pain and he wants to be back on the mound, and that's why he's making this significant shift to see if they can manage it in one or two inning stints that they'll ask of him. So really important couple of weeks for Nate Pearson, really important couple of weeks watching it from Blue Jay perspective, because if you can get that back in there in that bullpen, obviously we know he turns into like the 2015 version of Aaron Sanchez. But again, the reason that Nate wasn't in the big leagues to begin with is he needs to command the strike zone, and he has to throw strikes. And if he's able to do that, obviously he ratchets himself quickly into a conversation to jump into the Blue Jay bullpen.
Yeah, no kidding. Who would have been the starter yesterday if they win? I know Manoah is on the DL. I don't know how serious that is, but that keeps him out for what, at least a week?
Well, let's talk about Alek first. He slipped on the stairs over the weekend going down and landed on his back, and it was really banged up. He missed his side session, and they knew that they were going to have to delay him. So Thomas Hatch would have come up from AAA. They bumped his start on Sunday knowing that Manoah was banged up, so gave him a couple of extra days rest. But with the rain that was rolling in, and now an opportunity to get one more gate at the Rogers Center, it was a pretty quick trigger that was pulled yesterday. I expect Thomas Hatch to be optioned back to AAA and continue to get stretched out. They may move him to a bullpen, but I just don't think there is a need for a long guy right now. But again, that is an option. That is an option for the Blue Jays if they want to have a long guy stick around. But, you know, Thomas Hatch is more of an insurance policy to be a starter and back up the rotation.
He is Ben Wagner joining us here on Sportsnet. Last one for me. July 30th is the trade deadline. I know Ross Atkins was asked yesterday. He's been asked about 100 times in the last few weeks, but about pitching help, he was kind of talking about that again. But, I mean, with how the team is set right now, do you expect there to be something done by Atkins here prior to the deadline?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I really do. And I think that a bullpen piece and maybe even a starting pitching piece could be jumped in there. I really do. I think the Blue Jays are going to be very, very active. And July 30th is going to be a monumental moment for the franchise, for the city, for the country, as the Blue Jays return. And talking with people in the organization, they have not only – a calculated plan to get to this trade deadline, but there's a lot of emotion that's involved in what this team has gone through the last couple of years. And while Ross Atkins and also Mark Shapiro are very calculated people, and they don't deviate from a plan either, there's a sense of reward to the people that have kind of been grinding through this thing, including the players, and specifically the players for what they've been able to do and position themselves. 1 year getting to the playoffs, this year right on the cusp of really making some waves and then driving through the second half. I expect the Blue Jays to be very, very active and make significant moves. And significant moves, and it might only be one or two moves, but significant pieces brought into this thing to solidify what should be a great run through the home stretch.
Yeah, and it's interesting that it might be anecdotal or coincidental, but in 2014, it was a deflated locker room, apparently, the likes of Jose Bautista, when there wasn't a big deal made, when they were flirting with a playoff spot. In 2015, quite the opposite. Their run differential was massive and yet hovering around 500, and then they had Tulowitzki and Price and just took off. I mean, just the psychological effect of adding a big player, that can't hurt this group that have really outperformed their record in a way.
No, look, I mean, look at the same scenario, right? You get to the trade deadline and you're going back to Rogers Center, and that place will be like a playoff game. I'm telling you, 15,000 people are going to sound like 50. I'm prepared for it. I know it's coming, and I'm glad it's coming because the fans deserve it and those guys deserve it. And if you were to add, take the specific names out of it. We all know who's in the rumor mill, right? We all have our wish list of players that could plop right into the rotation, lock up the ninth inning perhaps, and, you know, make a big difference. That is going to be an incredible dose of adrenaline into that room the minute those guys walk onto the field, you know, starting July 30th or August 1st. It's definitely on after that.
So are you heading to Toronto as well? What's the plan with you? I know Buffalo is the old home. Dunedin's now the home base. You and your wife have been bouncing around the U.S. and Canada the last few years. This is wild.
I wish nothing more than to be at Rogers Center on July 30th. There are a number of things that have to be approved, I'm told. So if I can be in the building, if I can be part of this whole thing, I will happily do so. The good news is, I hope it is. I hope it is. We're just waiting on a couple of things, and we'll find out all together when people that make those decisions and then make those announcements hopefully can give me a little bit of a heads up, and then yeah. I'll let you guys know.
Got to pack some boxes, guys. Come on.
Yeah, when people you've never met give you permission to do things with your life, so that's how that'll go. Well,
yeah.
Good luck with that. And again, it's been a wild season for sure. And you now have me excited for the trade deadline for whatever that's worth. I'm all hot and bothered.
Blue Jay
all of a sudden.
Listen, yes, you should be very flustered with this next couple of weeks.
Very good.
Blue Jay fans should be very excited.
Thanks, Ben. Talk to you.
Thanks, guys.